beautiful Monday here in the great state of New Jersey, here at American Dream. Evan and Tika will be here all day long, right up until New York Yankee baseball as they host the American League Championship Series Game 1. Giants, Jets, Mets, Yankees, a lot to talk about. Joining us right now, Steve Edwards of the New Jersey Hall of Fame. That's some place, Steve, I got to tell you.
Evan, thank you. Thank you for being here today. And yeah, it's exciting, man. I'm glad you got to go through. What did you feel, Jersey pride, even though you're not from New Jersey?
I actually left the New Jersey Hall of Fame, and I said this out loud. I said, I'm considering moving here now.
Are you really?
I have
you
one
will
issue.
Be more than happy to have
the
you.
Only issue I have is I feel like I want to pump my own gas. I know I have to get over that, Steve. That's my only fear. But I did have a lot of Jersey pride. Danny DeVito, Jack Nicholson, Al Leiter, Tiki Barber,
Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein.
That's right.
Like that.
Sean had some trouble understanding what the Jersey bird was.
Yeah, I didn't know what the state bird was of New Jersey.
I don't think. Can we do that on radio?
Yeah, you can do it. Nobody's watching,
but there's kids
actually,
in the audience.
Actually, I can.
Spoiler alert, not a dove.
Right. We were having this discussion, Steve. How many states have a Hall of Fame for their Hall of Fame? Because
yeah,
Jersey's one of the few.
There's only four states that have state halls of fame. We're one of them. 46 states don't have state halls of fame. So hopefully we're going to inspire them, too. But I think it's ironic. Because we get bashed so much, don't
we,
New Jersey? And here we are showing our greatness, and we really do have so much greatness. It's not just Bon Jovi, it's not just Springsteen, it's Edison, it's Einstein, it's educators, it's scientists, people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
So I find that it's ironic.
Tell us about this space that's here, the New Jersey Hall of Fame, because it's very interactive. You can do a lot of different things. There's a lot of ways to experience some of the legends that are here in New Jersey.
It's 10,000 square feet, state-of-the-art, interactive, immersive, as you say. So the 10,000 square feet, really, when you start getting immersed in the exhibits, gets much bigger. You know, could be 100,000 square feet. But we have the Model T that Henry Ford gifted to Thomas Edison in 1916. Can you believe that?
Wow.
They took road trips together.
Wow.
We've got you talked about before, the hologram karaoke stage.
Yes.
You can get up.
I was singing. I was doing my best.
Yeah, I Will Survive with Gloria Gaynor, If I Were President with Wyclef Jean. We've got a late-night Jersey television studio where you could interview your legends. You could literally interview.
I interviewed
Tiki
myself,
Barber.
Steve.
I did the.
I interviewed myself.
Hey, if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? But I mean, in all seriousness, this guy did an hour interview with us. It was so inspiring. You know, I like to be involved athletically, bench pressing. His one-hour interview helped me so much. Chicken and waffles.
Yeah,
I'm eating it in the morning.
Good.
I'll tell you something about Tiki. He did this in his last broadcast. I don't know if you guys picked this up at the end of the Giant game. So Tiki's all excited. The Giants beat the Seahawks. And he's like, and now we get on the plane back to New York. No. New Jersey, like, corrected himself and made it very clear we're flying into Jersey. Screw New York.
Of course, I fly into Jersey every trip I take. Newark Airport.
I love it.
It's fantastic.
Well, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you very much. I hear that you brought us wings from Marcus Live Bar and Grill.
Here are your chicken wings. Monday Night Football has officially begun.
Right.
But there is a story here. As much as I love this guy.
Yes.
I did challenge him to a clapping pull-up contest.
A clapping pull-up contest?
Yeah, like pull-up,
clap. I am a 62-year-old man, and I challenged him.
I can't do it.
He chickened out. These are very, very appropriate. I am ready. The next show, clapping pull-ups.
All right.
Wow.
Can we? Is this? You think this will hold us? We can do it up here?
No, I don't think that will hold us, but we'll put a pull-up bar.
All right, that'll work. Tell us about this upcoming class that's going in. Phil Simms is going in.
So we got Phil Simms, we got Meryl Streep, Danny DeVito's emceeing the show. It's a 90-minute show, a lot of fun. And again, all walks of life. Paul Rudd is being inducted this year. We've got scientists going in. So every year we do this. Next year we'll be live again, probably at the NJ PAC.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much, man. We appreciate you coming on. Thanks for having us, and I'm going to eat these wings.
Yes,
I definitely. Usually don't eat before Met games because I get very nervous, but I'm going to give this one a try. Maybe it'll settle my stomach down a little bit. Thank you very much.
Go, Mets.
Thank you,
Steve.
Sir. Steve Edwards of the NJ Hall of Fame, one of the many things you could do here at American Dream. A lot of things like roller coasters and ice skating and interviewing Tiki Barber.
I'm glad
on
we
a
did
hologram.
I'm glad we did not ice skate.
See, I was excited to ice skate.
I would have hurt myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? You're the most athletic person I know.
Dude, black people don't ice skate. Don't you know that?
Well, Keandre Miller is a very good defenseman.
Oh, he's like two.
You all can right, fair enough.
Give me another one.
Well, Kevin Weeks. he doesn't do that anymore.
I was excited to ice skate just to see Sean, because Sean was like, I'm good, man.
You played hockey, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was foot hockey, but nonetheless, I'm very good on skates.
When's the last time you ice skated?
Honestly, probably like 3 years ago.
Okay, because I went ice skating in the last 6 months. Out of Brooklyn, New York, they opened up this ice rink.
And how'd you do?
Right near the Brooklyn Bridge. I took my kids. Here's how I would say I would did. I never fell, okay? I never broke my chin, but I looked like a klutz trying to keep my balance. So did I do a good job? Yeah, I didn't fall.
Yeah.
I did a fine job, but I wouldn't say I was smooth.
No,
I wouldn't say I was going 20 miles an hour.
People have called me Fat Ya Harding before.
Very nice.
Very good.
Now, let's get back to your calls. We want to keep everybody happy today. Today is a very tough day. You've got Jet fans giddy for a huge game against the Bills. You've got Yankee fans giddy for game one of the ALCS. You have Met fans still getting over last night, but looking ahead to game two of the NLCS in about an hour. And obviously the Giants coming off a loss last night to the Cincinnati Bengals. So we are going to hit it all throughout this show today. Let us go to somebody that I need in my life right now. This is a very, very important person, because as much as Tommy tries to be positive, the only one who speaks to me is positive Nancy from Flemington.
Nancy.
So Nancy, I need you. How are you feeling?
Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm feeling really good, but listen, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't really happy last night. Listen, today is a new day. It's a different game. I have friends. I got family. Everybody says, positive Nancy. How are you feeling today? They're all texting me. I am feeling nothing but positive today. My brother informed me the first game of the 1969 World Series, that didn't end well for the Mets, but it was a ploy to lull the Orioles to sleep. The Mets are going to do the same to the Dodgers. They're going to lull them to sleep. We got Manaea on the mound. We're going to keep the positive vibes going. And Tommy, don't be jealous. We need all the positivity we can get. Love you,
that's
guys.
That's right.
Let's go,
Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. Wow. Yeah. Tommy, stop being upset that Nancy stole your gimmick, okay?
Are you actually jealous?
No, that's a lie that Evan's perpetrating. I think I inspired Nancy. I love the good vibes.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the good vibes, because the reality is the Mets are in this weird spot. Mm. They lost game one. It stunk. It was a non-competitive mess. Everything that was bad, they did. Their base running was bad. Their defense was bad. Their pitching was bad. Their offense was bad.
They gave up
everything
more runs than the Bengals did.
I'm aware of that. Thank you. Right. Thank you for pointing that out, Sean. Everything was bad. But the truth is, if they can win today with their quote-unquote ace on the mound, if they can beat the Dodger bullpen, and granted they're on this insane scoreless streak that goes back to game four against the Padres, if they can win today, the positivity amongst Met fans will be through the roof because they did their job.
So what's the worry part? Is it the hitting? It's not the pitching, because we trust Manaea.
I'll tell you
so
what my
is. So is it more the hitting?
I'll tell you what my worry is.
They were quiet yesterday.
Yeah, so my worry is, as we sat here, and I kind of felt it as it was happening. We sat here, the Mets beat the Phillies, they advanced to the NLCS, and we started having this very innocent discussion about, hey, who would you rather play, the Dodgers or the Padres? And I feel like all of us to a T, and I'm included in this, completely disrespected the talent level of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I think it happened. I think it happened universally. And as I sit down and watch this game, and Shohei Ohtani, who I cannot stand, what a freaking phony he is, and Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman, and Enrique Hernandez, they call him Kiki, he has the most punchable face in all of Major League Baseball.
What does that even mean?
It's just true. Will Smith with his baby good looks. Like, the Dodgers are loaded. And so I think my concern, Teak, is that they're really good.
Of course they
are. They have a lineup that's very tough to pitch to. That's my concern. Now, their starting pitching shouldn't scare you. They're not even throwing a starter in game two. But they got a lot of good bullpen arms.
Yeah,
and so I think what scares me, Teak, is nothing against my team. I think it's the fear that maybe the L.A. Dodgers have been underrated by us as Met fans over the last 5 days.
I mean, you just look at their record throughout the regular season, and you know the guys at the top that can do damage. You shouldn't be taking them lightly, but to me it's more, it actually is more the Mets. It's probably human nature to relax at some point after you've accomplished much more than anybody thought you could.
Right.
And that's kind of where the Mets are. Getting to the NLCS, that was on nobody's dream scenario. Nobody thought that was happening until it actually did. And it's just natural to say, I can breathe, right? Now let's start again. But starting again gets hard, especially when you get punched in the face by a good team like the Dodgers.
Yeah, the positive I have, and I think this is what I kept trying to tell myself last night, I'm even trying to tell myself this right now, an hour before first pitch, is it's a best of seven series.
Yeah.
It's a long series. And I think there's an urgency in a best of five. There's certainly an urgency in a best of three that you shouldn't necessarily need to have in a best of seven. You can lose the first two games on the road, protect home field, and still win a series. You know, Nancy did something interesting. She mentioned 1969. So last night after the Mets lost game one, I started thinking back to every best of seven series the Mets have ever played.
Did you go back and look at the box score?
I looked at a few box scores, especially the ones I don't recall as well. Obviously, in 1986, I wasn't around. In 1988, I don't remember. So I started thinking about, well, what happens when they win game one? What happens when they lose game one? And the answer is, it doesn't mean anything. There's plenty of examples where they've lost game one and won the series. There are examples where they win game one and they lose the series. So history, you'll love this, Tiki. History doesn't mean anything.
Of course. I've been saying that for a 2 months now.
Well, you should have told me at 2:30 a.m. when I'm twisting and turning, jeez, trying to think of reasons that everything's going to be okay.
Have I not been telling him history means nothing for the last month?
He doesn't listen. He goes home and forgets. Now, here's a little history lesson for you. Why are we here at American Dream? What's the big game being played across the lot today?
Biggest Jet game in 9 years. Jets-Bills for first place.
Jets and who?
The Jets against the Buffalo Bills for first place in the American Football Conference Eastern Division.
And we are come all here, Dream Bar, big tailgate. So
yes.
Can somebody ask me what the heck this guy is doing with a Patriots Super Bowl championship?
No.
It's a Jet Bill game, dude.
Yeah. That's the one thing we Bill and Jet fans can get along on. We don't like you. Right?
Look at this. He's drinking the Surfside. He's eating the great barbecue food all while flaunting his Patriot dog.
Are you going to the game?
He's going to the game
dressed like that.
Why? Like, why? I don't understand that.
He's a glutton for punishment.
I understand going to the game. Like, I'm a sports fan. I'm thinking of going to tomorrow night's Game 2 of the American League Championship Series, right? I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm not a Guardian fan. But the one thing I won't do when I show up to Yankee Stadium, if I do decide to go, is wear a Mets shirt. Because they're not playing. You're not playing. You played yesterday and got your butts whooped by the Houston Texans.
Well,
and I got to hear Gerard Mayo say, Drake May looks great. Okay.
No, he didn't. At least not early, he didn't. By the way, Sean and I just went down to the restroom. We, you know, men go
together?
To the restroom together.
Yes,
just
we
like, yeah, we're cool. And there's a video game down there that Tom Brady's in the middle of.
Oh, God.
Tom Brady in the middle of a video game in New Jersey.
You could throw a rock and hit MetLife Stadium. Could we get all Patriot-related crap out of here?
I agree.
I'm telling you.
I agree. It needs to be banned. Let's go to JR, who's calling from beautiful Somerville. How are you, JR?
What's up, JR?
Hey, what's up, guys? Actually, I'm in a lot right now.
What lot are you in? I want to see if I can see you. What lot are you in?
You can't see me because I'm at the Charger in one of the next to the Saks Fifth over here. But
he's down in the garage.
I gotcha. I love how you're
in the garage.
Like,
you can't my
see
car
me. Oh, you got an electric car like I do.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
I was on, yeah, exactly.
You're one of those saving the environment like me.
Well, everything has its evils, so let me put it that way.
Right, that's true. That's very true. What's up?
Well, and Evan, I'm surprised that while you're at the Meadowlands, you don't campaign to have the Nets open that building and play a preseason game there.
Said that for years. Every time I pass the old Izod Center, I look at it and say, can we just play one more time in here?
Nothing says, you know, preseason like asbestos and an Enoch Christie jersey, huh?
You know, it's funny, JR. Real quick before I let you make your point. When Kyrie was here, I was pushing to reopen the Izod Center immediately so we could actually play with the vaccine requirements. I was like, bring him back to Jersey. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and it all blew up. Anyhow, what's up, JR?
All right. I want to defend Daniel Jones, and it has nothing to do with if they should keep him or whatever. There's five quarterbacks in college I love that they can replace him with tomorrow. The thing about what I'm seeing from it is that he requires neighbors as a safety blanket. He needs to have that safety blanket because it seems like on his first read, he needs to go to a guy like that. After that, it's over. And that brings me to Jalen Hyatt. This guy is exactly what Tiki talks about when we talk about underwear, guys running in the combines versus underwear versus actual football players. This guy runs a fade route, gets thrown a perfect ball, can't fight through the contact, and he's complaining to the refs. I'm like, you know, this guy is not an NFL receiver. I'm tired of hearing about him from Giants fans on social media. The guy we should have drafted is Isevich because, I mean, in the combine.
Yosevich.
Yeah, anyways.
Yes. I only know that because he played at Princeton with my son, so.
Exactly. But in the combine, he had one of the most, you know, a great combine. I was like, this guy's from Jersey. He should be wearing blue. He can post up in the end zone. He could be that guy that Daniel Jones needs. But I just think that once you get Neighbors back and you put Tracy in the backfield with Singletary because you can split him out and do some things with him, I think that you're going to see something different. I think that right now the offense is compromised.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's because of Daniel Jones and the lack of execution. But, I mean, it is also big plays. Andre Yosevas, by the way, he was drafted in the third round or sixth round. I forget what it was. He was drafted.
Right.
So it wasn't like he was free agent, could have come anywhere. But he's also a decathlete. Like, he's a super athlete. And you give the Bengals credit for identifying him as an athlete because he's been nothing but great for them. I think he, at one point, was leading the league in touchdowns earlier.
But isn't half the problem with Jalen Hyatt they don't have a quarterback that can get him the ball deep?
Well,
I mean, how many big plays have the Giants made this year?
Yeah, but the problem with Jalen Hyatt is that everybody knows that's all he's going to do.
Like, right.
So last week in the Seattle game, we called that game at CBS.
Sixth round.
So yep. when we chatted with the Seahawks defensive coaches, they knew exactly what they were going to try to do with him. And so you play a different coverage when you know that a guy can only go deep. And Jalen Hyatt's got to evolve. I know he's only in his second or third year now, but he's got to evolve into more of a route runner. Otherwise, he's going to be insignificant. Which is not going to happen.
That play he had last night, and the one route he does run well, which is down, you know, basically down the field straight line, begging for pass interference and not fighting forward for the ball.
You're not going to get it until you start making those plays.
Exactly.
It is what it is. And back to Malik Nabers, because he mentioned Malik Nabers. It's very simple with Malik Nabers. If they get a single high safety look, he's getting the football, period. That's what Dave tells Daniel Jones. If there's a man look from Malik Nabers, throw him the damn ball. It's simple, period.
Yeah.
And if it's a zone look, let's get somebody underneath, usually Wandell Robinson. So they've simplified the offense to make it non-thinking, but Daniel Jones is still thinking. Mm. That's why it gets complicated and frustrating to watch.
Let's go to Noel, calling from Los Angeles, California. Noel, are you close to Dodger Stadium right now?
Fellas, first off, first time caller, long time listener, big fan of you guys. Nikki, you're a Hall of Famer in my eyes, man. I love watching you with the blue. And Evan, oh, the pain. I was at the game last night, and the place was rocking. The blue was, the wrong shade of blue was rocking everywhere, but the seven line was there, man. We were in the house. The Mets fans were cheering them on, but the only people who didn't show up with a freaking New York Mets.
Yeah,
it was the most heartbreaking thing to watch. My team not get a hit until like the fifth, sixth inning. So I got a few questions for you. I'm on my way to the game right now.
Nice. At least you get a reprieve and maybe you'll get to see a good performance in game two. I'm glad you're getting back there at least.
And I'm praying they do it because I want to hear from you before I walk in there. I need a little bit of pep talk because they weren't hitting for nothing. Tell me some things to look forward to as I walk into this game, because they were ice cold last night, and I'm just hoping there was just a thing, and it's a whole different game today. And
well, I'm gonna give you.
I saw the family drive by with the Mets, and boy, that got me riled up. The entire Mets family drove right by me on the 110. We were honking. It was freaking amazing. So,
that's awesome, and I hope you guys have a chance to scream today, because unfortunately, we'd never know how many Met fans were at Dodger Stadium last night because the game was over before it started.
Yeah.
They went down 1-2-3 in the first inning, so no rally to get excited about. And then obviously, the bottom of the first inning where Muncy comes through with the big hit, so they're out of the game completely. I'm going to give you a positive. I know that sounds crazy. How could I possibly give one, considering I got a massive stomach ache and I'm not very confident? Here's the positivity that I will give you. In this postseason, the New York Mets have destroyed the Milwaukee Brewer bullpen. They did. They destroyed Devin Williams, especially in that game three. They destroyed the Brewer bullpen when, Pat Murphy decided to take his starting pitcher out, Freddie Peralta, early in game one. They took advantage of what is a good Brewer bullpen. Great. The Philadelphia Philly bullpen.
Same thing.
Jeff Hoffman is so great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Matt Strom is so amazing. Great. Carlos Estevez, the big trade deadline. The Mets destroyed the Philadelphia Philly bullpen. The L.A. Dodger bullpen has been amazing. They are a big part of this 33 consecutive scoreless inning streak. In fact, only 12 of those 33 innings came from starting pitchers. So I can't do math, Tiki, but the rest of those innings came from the Dodger bullpen.
21.
So I have respect for the Dodger bullpen. I'll make that clear. But the Mets have been disrespectful to good bullpens. They destroyed the Brewers, they destroyed the Phillies, and this afternoon at Dodger Stadium, my cousin Dave Roberts is going with a bullpen game. Ryan Brazier, you may remember him. He's bounced around. He's a former Red Sox. He's a reliever. He's an average reliever. The Mets have to hit him. The rest of this bullpen, Michael Kopech, they got to hit him. They've got to hit this bullpen. And the Mets, at least so far, because last night you kind of throw out. Jack Flaherty shut him down for 7 innings. They never really had a shot against the Dodger bullpen. It was over by the time the Dodger bullpen came in to get those last 6 outs. So I guess my positivity is the Mets have done a great job against bullpens in the postseason. Why not this afternoon in a Dodger bullpen game?
That was also a must-win game for the Dodgers.
What?
That was a must-win
what
game.
What was a must-win game?
Yesterday was a must-win game for the Dodgers.
Right? I do
Mets,
agree.
Mets on a layoff, right?
It's not a must-win game, but was it more important for them the way John Smoltz said? Sure, but I can't say must-win in game one of the
similar
series.
To game two in the Philly series, where that was a must-win for the Phillies. That was a must-win for the Dodgers last night. So the Mets responded after game two loss to the Phillies. We know what happened. They'll respond after this one. That was a must-win for the Dodgers. They got it done.
I don't agree with the must-win, but look, it was. Well, must-win
because
not,
losing game one on at home is devastating.
Think about it, Tiki. You're riding,
especially if you then have the bullpen.
And they're riding the high of coming back in the series against their rival, the Padres.
In fact, let me
Mets
just prove to you how much I disagree with the must-win term. As important as today's Met game is, it's not even a must-win for the Mets today.
Yeah,
now, being down
0-2,
going back to Citi Field, I'm not telling you I'd feel confident.
Guys.
But calling it a must-win is like hyperbole.
You know what positive Tommy did there?
What did he do?
He has positive Nancy in his head, and he said, how can I make sure I continue to bring the importance positive Nancy's outside of me? So let me just call this a must-win game for the Dodgers.
But positive Nancy works for positive Tommy.
Oh, okay.
We're all part of the positive conglomerate.
Well, she works for you? What, do you pay her or something like that?
She's part of the
are
positive
you a,
conglomerate.
You a positive pimp? What are you?
Well, no. Is Andy Martino listening?
All I know is today, and I'm not just saying for my own psyche, I think it's very important for the Mets to play from ahead. While they've done a great job playing from behind in the postseason, that's a very difficult formula to keep up. Like, being down and rallying in the 7th and 8th inning and having all this magic, it's not really a sustainable thing. So I think what's really important, top of the 1st inning, Ryan Brazier on the mound, put up a crooked number. Mets haven't done that a lot in the postseason.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very important to get off to a quick start, play with a lead, take the pressure off Charmania. Because, look, the Mets haven't played from behind in a series yet. You know, you mentioned those 2 bad losses, Luke, and they were bad losses, but they were losses that had given them a chance to win a series against Milwaukee or go up 2-0 on Philadelphia. This is the first time in this postseason the New York Mets are playing from behind.
Yeah.
That's the reality. And if you look at Met history, they have not played from behind very well.
I'm surprised how calm you are.
I'm not calm.
But you look it.
I'm acting.
You're usually very fidgety at this point.
I'm pretending.
And I think it's because the TV's not on.
You think that's what it is?
Yes.
Well, there is.
As soon as you start to see it, you'll start to feel
there
it.
There is a TV on in the distance, and I have seen, like, Clayton Kershaw just got interviewed. I mean, what a waste of time. Who the heck wants to hear from Clayton Kershaw? First of all, he's not even pitching in this series, so he's completely irrelevant. Like, what do we need from Clayton Kershaw for?
He's legendary, that's why.
He's a legendary
Dodger.
Okay, he's irrelevant in this series.
It's all right. He's a player coach right now for the Dodgers.
You know what? Interview David Wright then while you're at it, too. Because basically, Clayton Kershaw and David Wright are the same thing. They're relics.
Poor baby has to deal with 5 minutes of Clayton Kershaw. Try dealing with 4 games of George Brett.
Here's the difference. Can I tell you the difference?
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to sound like a baby. I don't really care.
And by the way, he's still on the roster.
That's fine. But he's a relic. He's not pitching in this postseason.
David Wright has been gone for a decade.
Okay, give him a uniform. He could sit there too like Clayton Kershaw. Here's my biggest
problem. Why are you so mad at Clayton Kershaw?
Because here's why. Because last night, we all witnessed an L.A. Dodger, I don't want to use that term, an L.A. Dodger festival of love, okay? Mm. That's how I cleaned it up.
Whew.
Joe Davis is the Dodger announcer. Joe Davis spent the Shohei Ohtani press conference, which I watched back a few months ago, kissing the ring of Shohei Ohtani. And he didn't even have a ring. And he was kissing the make-believe ring. I watched Joe Davis kiss the Dodgers tuchus all season long. He's the voice of the Dodgers.
Of course he is.
And so when he comes out there, as fair as he appears to be, because he really does try to be fair, I look at his face, and he's a good-looking guy. I look at that face, and all I see is the L.A. Dodger logo.
So you're mad at the announcer then?
Yes.
You're mad. You're not mad at Ohtani or Betts or Freeman or any of these guys. Oh, I'm mad at the announcer.
No, I'm mad at everybody, T. But remember this. This is what losers do, and I'm one of them. When we lose, we hate the announcers. That's what we do.
Right.
You blame the announcers.
Why don't you listen to the Mets broadcast?
I'm going to. I'm done. I had one game of Joe Davis, and the only time I'll listen to him is when he's crying in his soup if the Mets actually do something against this Dodger team.
Davis, a big soup guy?
Yeah, big soup guy. And here's another thing about Ohtani, and this is on us for Met fans, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow and more on this on Wednesday, but I just want to put it out there and I want to put it in the air. When this fraud shows up at Citi Field, we need to serenade him with what he deserves. So I have a chant in mind for Shohei Ohtani. Would you like to hear it?
Maybe not, but go ahead.
No curse words. I don't do curse words. All I think that's lowbrow. Slowbrow.
Lowbrow.
So I'm just going to be honest. Here's our chant for Shohei Ohtani, and I promise you, this will get to him. This will bother him. Where's your bookie?
Oh.
Where's your bookie?
That's
actually good. I was wondering what it was going
to
be.
I was waiting for Connor to tee up some dumb AI song, but everybody
no.
That was good.
No, Connor does have something to queue up.
No.
Guys, it is not an AI song. When we come back, you will get to hear Brian Daboll, really Brian Daboll, explain last night's Giant loss the only way Brian Daboll can. You will enjoy this, I promise. That's coming up next, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. More on the Giants, more on the Mets. We'll shift towards the Yankees and the Jets as the show rolls on as well.
Also,
we are live. Did you have something to say?
I was just going to say, thank you again to Chef Marcus Samuelson from Marcus Live, because I can't wait to eat these wings in the break.
Oh, yes. I almost forgot about those wings. We're going to be eating wings because we are spending all day here at American Dream. This whole broadcast brought to you by the New Jersey Hall of Fame at American Dream and Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, sunshine in a can.
Nobody.
How are you all doing? We are live. Live from American Dream. In about a half hour, we'll all get to watch the Met game together and talk about other things while it happens. The Yankees getting set for game one of the ALCS. Giant fans still annoyed by last night. And obviously the Jets get set for the most important game they have played in a very, 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 very long time. I've argued this is the most important Jet game they've played in 9 years. You see who's coming over, by the way, Tiki?
Yes. There he is.
The Angry Bird.
The Angry Red Bird. And I'm a redhead. Who's angrier, me after a Met loss or the Angry Bird? That's a very good question. Now, he's very red. This is the red I used to have when I was a kid, by the way.
The most talented redhead has now approached the stage here. It's the Angry Bird.
What's up, Angry Bird?
How are you, Angry Bird?
Yeah.
You could play Angry Bird mini golf here at American Dream.
I want to play it. Can I play that?
Yes. Why don't we do it next break?
Okay, I'm in.
We'll set it up. But if you're coming here pregame, you can get a little round in. And the Angry Bird will stay. Look at this. Eyebrows.
Are you supposed to play angry at the golf?
No, I think when you miss the shots, you get angry. And then you give the New Jersey Bird.
All right. And then you go dive at the other birds?
Yes,
that's
you
how
can.
Angry Birds works?
Look at this Angry Bird.
I'm ready. I'm ready to play some mini golf. I had some practice yesterday. I took my kids pumpkin picking, and there was like a mini golf thing, and I was terrible. But I was just getting it out of my system. I was warming up so I could kick. Who am I beating? Tookus? You, Tiki?
Yeah, you can beat my Tookus.
All right.
By the way, Angry Bird, too. Better mascot, I think, than Mr. Met.
Now, come on. What are we doing here?
Look at him.
You want to start a fight here?
Angry Bird, you could kick Mr. Met's ass, right? Yes, he shook his head.
All right, Angry Bird. I'll be playing mini golf with you in about 15 or 20 minutes. Thank you very much. So yesterday, after the Giant game, and that's one of the many things you can do here at American Dream. You can play mini golf, you can ice skate, you can go on a roller coaster, you can eat food, you can have drinks, there's water rides, there's a lot of crazy stuff. So last night after the Giants game,
Angry Bird's still packing away.
I was analyzing Brian Daboll's post-game press conference because I do like listening to it.
You do. You like to try to extrapolate things from press conference words.
So Brian Daboll yesterday, and this is up to you guys to interpret. I do not want to offer any opinion. I want you to listen to something, and then you all decide if you like this or not. Brian Daboll, at his press conference last night, decided not once, not twice, not three times, but 150 times in a row to blame somebody for last night's Giant loss.
Let's
so I want you to listen to this audio package. Great job by Connor Green back at the shop putting it together. And I want to promise you, we are not replaying anything. This is Brian Daboll saying this 150 times. Enjoy the net game tonight. Go Brooklyn. They really wanted the tickets.
That's unbelievable.
Here is Brian Daboll from last night's post-game press conference. Take a listen.
Didn't score enough points offensively, and that starts with me. Obviously, we don't want to turn the ball over in that situation, and you can put that on me. But certainly a decision that I know that we'd like to have back, but you can put that on me. We didn't execute as well as we executed last week, and that starts with me. The result is 7 points, and that all starts with me. You can put that on me, and that starts with me. That all starts with me. You can put that on me, and that starts with me.
You can put that on me.
That all starts with me. You can put that on me.
Yeah, all true. That is all Brian Daboll last night. None of that repeated. So you tell me, Tiki, do you like that from your coach? Or
I mean, there's only three people that get blamed for lack of success in the NFL. The head coach, the quarterback, and maybe the offensive coordinator sometimes.
Yeah,
but in this case, it's the same person. So it's two, the head coach or the quarterback, period. End of story.
Yeah.
And so he's right. Ultimately, whether or not it's his fault or not, he's going to get the blame. It's not his fault that Daniel Jones misses an easy throw in the flat, decides to throw it over the middle of the field to nobody.
If you
go back and look at it, you're like, who the hell are you throwing that to even?
I think in last night's case, this was a rarity where I don't think anyone would blame Brian Daboll. I think last night was a complete Daniel Jones stinks, what do you want him to do kind
of
night.
But at the end of the whatever year or history, it's on his record.
Right.
That's what he means.
Do you like hearing that as a player, by the way?
Of course. Put it on
and
your
that
tummy.
Tell me. It all starts with me.
I love it. You like that, Sean?
I like it, but come on. I'm still putting this on Greg Joseph and Daniel Jones. Just once I'd like to say, hey,
you know what would
be great? It'd be great if Daboll went there, hey, remember when everybody blamed me for the kicker? What do you think now?
Yeah. You know, I thought of Tommy last night when I was listening to this, because Tommy Lugauer has a theory. And that theory is, and maybe the theory is right. Hold on a second. Can I defend Tommy if sometimes...
I don't even know what Tommy's theory is.
Tommy is at, gonna piss you off.
Tommy is at a theory that Mr. John Maurer has gone to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane already and said, listen, guys, no matter what happens, you're safe.
No chance.
And the reason why it clicked into my head last night...
Oh, they're safe. That part I think he's right.
Okay, so Tommy's right. Here's why. Like, I think I'm a good guy. I think so. And if our boss said, you know what, Evan, no matter what, you're safe, it'd be easier for me to say, oh, that's my fault. I suck. My fault. But if I thought there was a chance that I was going to get fired, it's probably Tommy's fault.
Yeah, I know that one all too well.
And Tommy would do the same thing. So for Brian Daboll to so confidently say, look, this is on me.
And that starts with me. Put that on me. Starts with me.
What coach is ever going to blame a player? I've never heard that.
I've heard coaches blame players.
Like straight up, oh, that's Daniel's fault. Daniel's got to, doesn't throw that interception, we win that
game.
That's squarely on Daniel Jones.
You're right. It's not necessarily blaming a player. I think it's not going out of your way and taking the entire press conference, and I do commend him for it, mm-hmm. and saying, it's on me. Like any criticism that went his way last night about that loss, Brian Daboll said, that's on me.
Right.
I mean, you just heard it. You heard him say it 150 times.
Right. You got to be accountable.
I don't think every coach does that.
Well, of course not, because they don't feel secure in their job.
Yes! That's my boy.
He's comfortable. We saw another Daboll tanking situation.
Oh, here we go.
Would you stop?
The first fourth down that he went for,
yes.
where they got stopped, and then the Bengals were driving, and Moss coughed it up, so it kind of bailed him out.
Yes.
Your defense is playing great. You go for it there, makes absolutely no sense. So I bring it up again. He's either tanking because he's comfortable or he's a bad head coach. There's only two options here. And then, of course, he went for it after a bunch of times.
You're trying to lose games
to get a quarterback.
No, or he's just being aggressive because why not be aggressive?
Yeah, you
have nothing to lose.
I think you put yourself in an interesting spot, okay? And that is, and people do this all the time, where they're like, I have a theory, and no matter what happens, mm-hmm. this will back up my theory.
Yes.
So, for example, you know the NBA lottery? You guys haven't been there for a while, so you almost forgot about it. I'm going to own the lottery this year, so I remembered it. No matter who wins the NBA lottery, there are people who will say the lottery is fixed. Oh, of course they fixed it for Portland. Adam Silver loves coffee in Portland.
San Antonio with Wemby.
Of course they did it for San Antonio. They did it there, Tim Duncan. Of course they. There's always like a backup mm-hmm. to why something happened. So, for example, for you, Tommy, if Brian Daboll doesn't act uber aggressive on fourth downs, which he hadn't for a while, mm-hmm. like last year, that was one of my biggest criticisms of him, and I think you agreed with me, you would say why is this guy punting? Why is he Todd Bowlesing it? Now that Daboll has decided I'm going the complete other way, I'm going to be uber aggressive, you're saying that's proof he's tanking. No matter what he do, you'd say it's proof of
whatever. But in that spot, it was the wrong thing to do to be aggressive because your defense was playing well.
You can be aggressive because your defense is playing well. That's why you feel comfortable being aggressive.
But if you pin him down deep, you get a stop, you get better field position.
Do you remember when he did that?
Do I remember when
Do you remember where in the game Brian Daboll decided to go for it on 4th and 2 from his own 38 yard?
Yes.
When?
To the exact second and point. No, because I'm watching both games. It was in the fourth quarter.
No, you're wrong.
They were late
you're
third
wrong.
Quarter?
That you're was
wrong.
Another time he went for it on 4th.
Yeah. He did it 5
times.
I'm talking
about the first time before yes. Moss fumbled. Okay. The Bengals were driving.
You're wrong. And you're
early third quarter.
It wasn't just early third quarter.
First
you're more accurate. It was the first drive of the third quarter. And I'll tell you why that matters. You just sat there at halftime. Okay. You're sitting there, and you're stewing, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, we're down 7-0. We're not doing anything offensively. In fact, Brian Daboll spent his halftime interview giving you as honest an interview as I've ever heard a coach give, which is, we need more big plays, we need to score points, we need to move the ball. Like, he was just telling you like it is. So don't you think in the opening drive of the second half, when you probably spent halftime telling your guys, we got to score. We got to move. Don't you think it shows your players something that you're saying, I'm going to do something crazy.
Right.
We're going to go for it on a 4th and 2 from our own 38-yard line. Context matters. The first drive of the second half, I think he was backing up the message he sent to his players at halftime. And unfortunately, it didn't work. Now, it did get saved by the defense making a big play, and then they scored a touchdown. So ultimately, it worked if it didn't work. But the mentality of it is the exact opposite of a conservative tanker. It's the mentality of someone who says, I'm going to put my foot on the gas to try to get my football team
a victory. My honest thought on this, and I know it's crazy, I think Daboll knows they're not going to get the fourth down there.
Come
I'm serious. What did we start?
Why would you think that?
What did we start the show with? Daniel Jones can't get it done. He's been told, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane have been told, you're coming back. They need a quarterback because guess what, Teague? If they don't start winning after this year, they're both getting fired. They need to get a quarterback. How do you get the quarterback? You lose games. You make that decision going, all right, Jones isn't going to get this. Cincinnati will score.
What about every other fourth down they went on?
Well, then you're
– succeeded.
But they did that in the Seattle game too. Once they were kind of pot committed, then he started going for it. I know it's nuts. I just think it's master plan by Daboll to make you think he's not tanking, but he is.
Loogie, it's only nuts because I think you're a hypocrite. Like, I think if he punted it, you'd be saying the same thing oppositely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can see through it.
No,
because Daboll, see, I'm fair. Last year I killed Daboll. I called him a coward. He coached like a coward.
Cowardly
And
lying,
I stand by everything I said last year. This year he's not. So instead of doubling down on my opinion from last year, he's done something different, and I commend him for that. I'm commending Brian Daboll for saying, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes, including going for it on a 4th and 2 from my own 38-yard line.
But doesn't it behoove Brian Daboll and Joe Shane to lose games to draft a quarterback?
Well, that's irrelevant to talking
no,
about
it's
a football
not, because if you're tanking games, or again, they're not going to outwardly tank.
Why wouldn't you punt them?
They're going to present. In that spot, punting
if
is the
punt,
right thing to do.
If they punt, you'd be saying
no,
the same
no,
thing
I wouldn't, Evan.
You did last year.
No.
You hated it's when he was cowardly.
I agree, but it's situational. Stop. In that situation, the right thing to do to win the football game is to punt. There
so
are other
Daboll,
times.
Did Daboll coach him up on how to force a fumble on the ensuing drive? Because if you were tanking,
the player,
you wouldn't be trying to force a fumble.
The players aren't tanking.
Oh, got it. Okay.
The coach is trying to keep it close so they don't get blown out.
Doesn't a coach teach him how to do that in that situation, force a fumble?
Is he the defensive coordinator?
You can't actually believe he wants to tank.
He doesn't.
No. There's no chance he wants to tank.
This franchise that the three of us on this right side of the table love are not winning unless they get a quarterback. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Daniel Jones not the answer. So how do you get another quarterback?
By having the Patriots lose out and trade up with them.
Right? I mean, there's plenty of ways to get a quarterback. There's going to be free agents or trades or someone available as a veteran. You don't necessarily have to wait for the draft in order to get one. And by the way, if you draft one, you don't know if he's going to be Drake May or he's going to be Caleb Williams or if he's going to be C.J. Stroud. You don't know.
I'm going to give you a comparison.
It's almost impossible to rely on the draft to fix your fortunes. And by the way, I think the Giants are – they're building towards a team that can play and win, not in the long term, but in the short term.
Oh, no, they feel like a team that's a quarterback away.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But here's the problem, and I don't know if you'll understand this comparison, Tiki, because you're a lot cooler than us, but 11 o'clock at night, you've been talking to the same person at a bar for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And you realize, I don't like this person. I don't like this woman. I don't like this man.
By the way, I did that last night before I got on the plane. Great dude. Great guy. Ryan and Nadia. They bought my drinks.
This is
awesome.
Only a little bit different because there's an end game that you yeah. didn't have.
Right, and not an ahead. Airport bar. We're talking about like a bar where it smells like, you know, Surfside yes. on the floor. Yeah,
exactly. So after 45 minutes.
It wasn't at the airport. It was at yeah. the hotel. It was great.
After 45 minutes, if I realize, you know what, I'm really not into that person, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to go home. Tommy's the kind of person that's got to see it through no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
So he is seeing through his opinion on Brian Daboll no matter what the evidence shows you. So even though Brian Daboll is the opposite of cowardly now, it doesn't matter. He's doing it for the same reason.
What is the Giants' record?
2-4.
They could be 4-2, but they're not. They're 2-4.
If they had a kicker, they're 4-3.
Was Brian? Yeah, but they brought this same kicker back who stinks, and they're staying with the kicker who stinks. Why are they doing that? That's the first thing. Second thing was Brian Daboll asked about job security last night. All of a sudden, there's a gag order. You can't ask the guy about his job security. Why is that?
I mean, they went on the road and won a great game against the Seattle Seahawks, and no one thought that they could.
Seattle stinks.
They do. Talk about moving the goalposts.
By the way, everybody stinks.
I agree with. Like, Kansas City's the only really good team.
Are they?
And the Ravens.
Are they?
The Chiefs? Oh, yeah. No, the Chiefs
are. Just because they win doesn't mean they're a really good team. They're undefeated, but they're not great.
They're the best of the Bay.
Watch their game.
I believe in my soul that I'm onto something here.
But yeah.
More importantly, we have our first Jet Zubaz that have been spotted here at this tailgate at the Dream Bar.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
And if you notice, our great audience, they're trolling Tiki. There's a bunch of Jet jerseys with Yankee hats. So they do exist. I've seen like six guys like that.
Yeah. Tonight's a tough night if you're a Yankee Jet fan. Like, tonight's a very rough night. It's like you last night, Lugie, as a Met Giant fan. It's a very difficult night when the two teams.
Yeah.
Because baseball playoff games are really important, obviously. But every regular season football game
is
really important.
But you've already said this is the most important Jet football game in a decade.
More important so for the what's Jets more or Mets important? Today.
Say that again?
More important for the Jets or Mets today.
I thought about this all morning. No, because I knew it was coming. I just knew it.
The answer's easy.
The answer's easy?
Very easy.
You think the answer's easy?
Yeah.
Game two of the NLCS, Mets down 1-0, they go down 0-2. Or the New York Jets being a game behind the Buffalo Bills and the AFC East, brand new head coach, and you say it's easy. I do not think it's easy.
I think it's easy.
Okay, let me hear your answers.
I think it's more important for the Jets. Mets still have all three home games waiting for the LCS.
Mm. Tiki?
I think it's more important for the Mets.
Wow.
Because if you lose with Sean Manaea, your ace, then you're really screwed.
Yeah, so this is why I'm conflicted. Because it's not an easy answer. And for you guys to say it's easy is like, it's not easy.
It's easy and we went opposite.
I know. It's so damn easy. Yeah, because you're both not Jet fans.
No, because the NFL stinks. Every team is flawed.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I lean towards it's more important for the Mets because it's simple math.
Yes.
It's simple math. Just hear me out. The Mets have an area where they can lose three games. Once they lose a fourth, their season is over, right?
Yeah.
For the Jets, I think that number is more like 7, maybe even 8, where you can lose 7 games and still make the playoffs, and then you have a new life come postseason time.
Right.
As much as I'd rather have them field advantage.
Right. Aaron Rodgers can get hot, and they can get streaky and win 7 games in a row.
Put it this way. I think it's likelier if the Mets lose, they lose the series, then the Jets lose, and they miss the playoffs. It's close. And that's why I went back and forth on it. But I would say it's more important for the New York Mets.
Well, it's good news.
So I'm with Tiki.
For anybody on Route 3, Jersey Turnpike, heading out to MetLife Stadium, don't worry about bunny ears in the lot or trying to find people you don't know with a TV. Go into American Dream, park in Concourse A, nice walking bridge to the stadium. Come up here to the Dream Bar, and we're going to have Mets baseball on in 15 minutes. There's a ton of Mets and Jet fans here.
And watch
Evan and Lugauer sweat out the next 9 innings.
If you're in your car, you can tell it's windy as heck outside, so it's much more comfortable in here.
Yeah, look at the wind whipping. That's going to be a role in this game tonight, too.
No question. We'll get into the game coming up. We'll get into the Yankees, who have a major roster change going into the ALCS that we address. And we'll keep you posted as we watch the Mets game 2 of the National League Championship Series. And a lot more of your phone calls. A lot of Met fans and Giant fans on the line. We'll get to all of you, Yankee fans, Jet fans. It is a very, very busy Monday here at American Dream in the great state of New Jersey. Guys, if you heat your home with oil, you got to hear this message. Low-price home heating oil is now available to all WFAN listeners at a fixed price that can save you hundreds of dollars a year on your home heating bill. If you think you're paying too much to heat your home, pick up your phone, dial 866-